There is such beautiful singing. The Lord, he is worthy of praise and thanksgiving. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, I pray, Lord, that you just, Lord, just help us to worship you today, God. Lord, help us to, if there's any loss in here, God, I pray, God, you love in their hearts, God. Lord, it's for the Christians in here, God, I pray, God, we leave here in love with you, Lord, God. And just thank you, God, for salvation, God, that it can't be earned. It's only through the blood of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's start out in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. I'll read this and then we'll get started. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age.
Amen.
Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." In today's passage, before we look at the importance of self-denial in a Christian life, let's first lay the foundation. The foundation is that we are saved by grace alone through Christ alone.
Yes.
We're not saved by our efforts or performance. We're only saved by what Jesus has done on the cross.
Yes.
Each of us, if we are saved, we're saved because he has showed us mercy. The Bible tells us that each of us, we are all under sin. We've all sinned against God. There is none righteous.
Amen.
None of us can save ourselves. None of us has a good enough righteousness of our own to have salvation by our own efforts. It doesn't matter what kind of person that you think you are. If you think you're a good person, better than somebody else. What matters is you have sinned against the Holy God. And God's standard is the one we must look to. It doesn't matter if we think we're better than some people. We're imperfect to the Holy God. And we will never be righteous enough to earn salvation. Isaiah 64:6. It says, But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, has taken us away.
Yes, amen.
So if none of us is good enough to have enough righteousness of our own, we must look to someone else to save us.
Right.
We must look to someone who has a perfect righteousness.
Yeah.
And what this involves with us is we got to humble ourselves.
Yeah.
And this is when we got to let go of our pride.
Yes.
We got to let go of our pride and come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I need you to forgive me and be merciful to me."
Yes.
Who is Jesus to you this morning? Either Jesus is the Lord of your life, or he is your enemy and you are under the wrath of God right now and abides on you. Which is it for you? Jesus can save you. He will not reject anyone who comes to him by faith. All who humble themselves and commit their lives to follow him, he will save. John chapter 5, verse 24, it says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life."
Amen.
Do you hear those words Jesus is speaking to you? You can pass from death to life if you don't know him. The one who loved you when you was unlovable is the one who came to die for your sins. The one who took your shame, the one who took your sin, the one who bore it all for you, who nailed him to the cross, he offers you mercy today.
Yes.
Come to him by faith.
Yes.
Be born again. Be changed. Let God change you. Listen to what Jesus told Nicodemus. He told him he must be born again if we wanted to see the kingdom of God. And that's what each and every one of us must be. If we want to see the kingdom of God, we must be born again.
Yeah.
We must be changed.
Yeah.
When we come to Jesus, yes, we come as a sinner, but we're going to be changed.
Yeah.
John chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Yes.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Amen.
Jesus told Nicodemus, if he wants to see the kingdom of God, he must be born again.
Yeah.
And this is not talking about a physical birth. This is talking about a spiritual birth.
Amen.
The new birth is what we call regeneration or transformation. This is when God changes your heart and he changes your desires. This is when you become a new creation. The old things that you used to hate, you now love. The old simple lifestyle that you used to love, you now hate. And you pursue godliness. This is the work of God in your life that you must have. If someone has life, he has been changed. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you.
Yes.
I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Now to the believers. He has taken the heart of stone out of us. And we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We now will walk with the Lord and we will do our best to obey his commandments. Yes, we will fall, but we will strive to obey Christ and live obedient to God.
Yeah.
There is a difference between true born-again believers and unbelievers.
Yeah.
Unbelievers, they don't care if they obey God or not.
Yeah.
True born-again believers, they care. It grieves them. Unbelievers, they see Jesus as a license to sin and come to and they abuse his grace. But true believers, they want to obey God and they follow the Holy Spirit's conviction when temptation and sin comes.
That's true.
All those who are born again, we have a living hope through the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
Do you believe that this morning?
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. A living hope through Christ?
Amen.
We're no longer a part of this world. We have hope in another kingdom. And so many today that they're living as though they have no hope. There's so many today that are lost. They are without Christ and they are lost. And they are pursuing everything in this earth that they can possibly pursue. They don't believe that there's anything after life. Have you ever noticed the most miserable people is the people who don't know God? It doesn't matter if they have $1 million in their bank account. If they are without Christ, they are miserable.
Yeah.
You may say, how is that possible? These people have got everything they ever wanted in life, but they got all the money they can buy, the best house, the best cars, but yet they're the most miserable because they are without Christ. They are without hope. And it's same for us, guys. There's many around here roaming around, living life, just trying to please whatever flesh that they can please. But that will never satisfy.
Yeah.
You can only have temporary pleasures in this world. It doesn't matter if we're pursuing pleasures in kids, or jobs, or entertainment. It will bring some joy, but it will never bring satisfying contentment that only Christ can bring.
Yeah.
It will leave you empty inside without Christ. Because he is the only one who can satisfy the emptiness of your soul if you're without Christ.
Yes.
Because he's the only way to satisfy We must look to him. If there's anybody in here today, let me tell you, you can have this same hope.
Yeah.
You can be changed a new kingdom.
Yeah.
You can be transferred to the kingdom of God. You can be a child of God today.
Yes.
If you would humble yourselves and come to Christ. And Christians, born-again believers, we have a great hope.
Yeah.
We have something to look forward to other than just this earth that we see. This earth is passing away. We got to look forward to the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
We get to look to be in the presence of God forevermore.
Yeah.
That is something to be praiseworthy about today.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
We have a living hope for Jesus. And one day soon, we'll be with him in paradise. Once we are born again, we begin a lifelong process called sanctification. And this is when we as Christians, we put sin to death, we become more like Christ. Let's look back at our text in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. And it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." The grace of God is teaching us as born-again believers to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That's what God wants for us in our lives. He wants us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. The Lord wants us to refuse to think and act in any unholy manner. When we put our faith in him and are born again, God breaks our dominion over sin. It no longer has dominion over us. It no longer controls us like we once did. Before salvation, we did whatever our hearts desired.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. We did whatever we wanted to do. Whatever sin we wanted to give our hearts to, that's what we give ourselves to. It didn't matter to us how we lived. We was controlled by our sin.
Yeah.
We was controlled by it, and we didn't want out of it. But thank God that when we were dead in our sin, he made a way to escape.
Amen.
When he drawed us to his son, when he changed our heart, when he opened our eyes to see the truth about ourselves, when we come to him by faith, when we repented of our sins and come to him, he changed us. And he put us on a new path.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Do we believe this morning that we're on a new path?
Yes.
If we believe this, let's walk out our salvation.
Amen.
With fear and trembling.
Yes.
We have to deny ourselves because our flesh is opposing against us. It's a day-by-day battle between us. If we are without self-denial in our lives and we claim to be a Christian and we just live ever how we want to, guys, let me be honest with you. There is no true Christianity if you are still continually living in habitual sin. Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26, it says, "And Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?"
Yeah.
Are you willing to deny yourself today? Are you willing to follow Christ daily? Are you willing to put behind the pursuits of this world and follow Christ? This world is passing away, and it's not going to last much longer. And you're not going to be here much longer. It doesn't matter if you live to be 105 or live closer. The question is what will you give in exchange for your soul? What are you putting in front of God from committing your life to Him? In this world, there's so many temptations and it is consumed by pleasure. And so many out there are consumed by what they can see only by their eye. And let me tell you, it's not worth losing your soul over.
Amen.
Serve God and lay up treasures where nothing can destroy you.
Yeah.
But the sad reality is, guys, Christians can fall into these same traps. We can become distracted by the things that we see with our eyes. We no longer are advancing the kingdom of God. We're going back and looking to our earthly pursuits. And it's so easy to be consumed by the distractions that we see. The truth is we all still have remaining sin in our lives. That old man that we must fight daily. We must have much self-denial in our lives. Each of us in here this morning are in a battle, and we should be at war against our sin that remains in us. We should not be content with any disobedience towards Christ.
Yeah.
We should not say, well, grace covers me. We should be at war against that sin. Because God wants us to be separated from the world.
Amen.
He wants us to be completely different from those who don't know God.
Yeah.
And so often, church, is it not true that so often we want to try to blend in as close as we can to the world?
Yeah, that's right.
But we are called to be different by our actions, our speech, our attitudes. In every way possible we're living, we are called to be different from that of a non-believer.
Amen.
The way that we live means so much to the lost world. Because even the lost world expects Christians to be different.
Yeah.
We are the salt of the earth. We need to let our light shine bright in a dark world. And what happens, guys, when we let our lights grow dim? We no longer have a bigger impact on the lost world. They see us as just some hypocrite who doesn't follow Christ the way He says. They see us as somebody who just honors Christ with their lips, but their lives look no different than nobody else who doesn't know God. Let's be renewed in our minds and put on Christ when we're around others. Maybe it's if we get around others and they are gossiping and we're tempted to gossip, slander people, or laughing at crude jokes. Let's not join in. Let's be different. Let's show them that we have the living God living inside of us. Let's let our light shine bright. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who is for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
We all need to lay down these sins that so easily ensnare us all. The truth is, guys, we as Christians can slow down our walk with God.
Yeah.
We can be our own worst enemy.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the truth is we got to lay this aside. What is slowing you down today in your Christian walk? Only this you can answer for yourself. Are you making great strides in progress of growing in godliness? Or do you see in your life that you see the world is creeping in and you are chasing earthly pursuits? What is slowing you down? If there's anything slowing you down, the scripture says to lay that aside. Lay that aside. Run the race to the end. Run it with endurance. We need to be growing closer to God. And there's many things that we can slow us down. Maybe it's we're chasing to have the best job out there. Maybe it's we want to have our bank accounts full. We want to have the best homes, the best vehicles. The one that had the best house, the best boat, the best vehicle, four-wheeler. We want to plan for the best vacations. Spending money on different things. Or maybe we want our kids to be popular in school, so we give our lives over to our kids and we neglect what God wants us to do. It's when we begin to focus on these other things that our personal growth as a Christian slows down. And the holiness in our lives is no longer evident as it used to be. We take our eyes off the prize. And it's easy to do.
Yeah.
He doesn't want us to chase after things of this world because God has called us out of this world.
Yeah.
Not He hasn't saved us to keep pursuing these things. He's
right.
Saved us to change us from those things.
Yeah.
To make us like Him. And I think, guys, we all feel this battle inside of us. We all feel this battle of the flesh and the spirit waging war against us.
Yeah.
I know I do. And guys, this is when we have got to be fully yielded to the Holy Spirit. We must let the Spirit take control in our lives. Because if we don't, we'll make a mess of ourselves. Galatians 5:17. For it says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. So that you do not do the things that you wish. We are not alone in our spiritual battle. Each and every one of us in here has the flesh and the spirit fighting against. The battle is raging until the end of our lives. But that is when we got to discipline ourselves. That's when we got to have self-control over our own bodies. Our own minds and our own flesh. The truth is, guys, we can become casual in our walk with God.
Yeah.
We can just go through the motions.
Yeah.
It's time to go to church on Sunday. Everybody get dressed. Let's go. Let's hear them singing some songs and some preaching. Let's walk out the door and check a list and leave not changed.
Mm-hmm.
Or pray before meals. Or pray before bed. You know, I've checked off those boxes today. Or maybe we just pick your Bible up and say, I've read a couple of chapters. Or go to Bible study on Wednesday nights. But truthfully, guys, we're not giving Him our all. Are we giving Him our all when we do these things? That's what matters. It doesn't matter to God if we come to Him half-hearted with our worship. He doesn't want us to be half-hearted because He deserves all of our love.
That's
right. Because He has saved you. He deserves everything that you can give to Him.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that's hard. It's hard for us all. But we are commanded to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yeah.
That is what God wants from each and every one of us. He wants us to love Him.
Yes.
Each day we should be growing closer to Him and separating less and less from this world. We should be loving Him more. He must be increasing in our lives. We must be decreasing in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We've got so many distractions in this life, so many things that try to take the place of Christ. We've got so many temptations that come to us daily. The thing is, guys, the sin is crouching out the door of the door each and every day. Each day that we live, it's ready to rule us, it's ready to reign us, and it's ready to bring us back into bondage. The thing is, are you on guard? Are you fighting against it? Or are you giving in? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. It says, Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may attain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to attain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fought not with one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified.
Amen.
We must run in the way of the Apostle Paul, friends.
Right.
We must discipline ourselves, and we must go to war against our bodies and our flesh. If we want to run this race well as a Christian, we must keep close watch over our hearts. We must keep close watch of what we give our lives to. We must keep close watch of the things that we may even watch on TV. Because those things that we put in our lives, they can influence us. And before you know it, you've been influenced by the world. And before you know it, you're no longer pursuing godliness. Christianity comes at a cost. But no matter the cost, as a born-again believer, you must be ready and willing to give everything up.
Yeah.
That might mean that when you go home and you're tired, you might just need to put your phone down and just spend some time in prayer. That might mean that instead of going to the ball game, you might need to spend some deep time in study. Maybe you need to skip some things to get spiritually aligned back with God.
Amen.
It does come at a cost, and it's not going to be easy. It's going to take all of our effort. It's going to take a lot of discipline on our part. It's the matter of fact of how much discipline do we want to put into our lives. Whatever may be slowing you down, give it up and be radical with your sin. Mm-hmm. Whatever that may be. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory."
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Our greatest need is to set our mind on things above. The more we set our affection on heaven, the less we're going to become satisfied and consumed with this world. We need to seek what's above. Seek God and give him your all. Because he gave his all to you. He died for your sin. If we can truly grasp that, what God has done for us, it would change us. If we got up every morning and we said, "You know what? I want to thank today God that has died for my sins." And because he's died for my sins, that is going to change my whole viewpoint of how I live today. If we thought that every morning, how different would our lives be? If we knew that we had been changed by God, instead, most of the time, God is like an afterthought. And we just get the busyness of the day, and then we completely put him to the side, and before we know it, we're no longer reflecting godliness. Christian, don't waste your life. Store up treasure in heaven where nothing will destroy it. Because one day, guys, we'll wish that we labored more for Christ. One day, we'll wish that we laid up more treasure for us. And some people today are saying, "Well, I just thank God I'm saved, and that's all that matters to me." But one day, guys, we're going to be filled with regret that we didn't labor more.
Yeah.
We're going to wish that we spend a little more time advancing God's kingdom, laboring for God's kingdom, working for God's kingdom, and loving God. And the same can be said the other way, guys. The less we think about heaven and Christ, the more we'll be consumed by earthly pursuits.
Yeah.
It's just the reality. You can go flip-flops either way. This world and the pleasure of this world will never bring satisfaction.
Yeah.
It can only bring you temporary joy. But you'll be empty. You'll feel empty. We know this to be true, guys. But the reality is, we don't live like it's true. If you're feeling down lately, maybe a little empty with no true joy as a Christian, or maybe you're just going through the motions, compare your life. What do I spend more time on? Do I spend more time on my earthly pursuits and advancing my kingdom? Or do I spend more time knowing God and loving God and getting to know him? Proverbs 4, chapter 4, verses 23 through 27. It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Keep guard over your hearts, your mind, and your time. Don't let things that don't benefit your walk with Christ consume you. Don't let them get in the way. Get radical with it. Get extreme with sin in your life. Because I promise you one thing, you won't regret it.
Yeah.
Listen to this quote by Charles Spurgeon. It says, O child of God, be more careful to keep the way of the Lord, more concentrated in heart in seeking His glory, and you will see the loving kindness and the tender mercies of the Lord in your life. If we seek God with our whole hearts, we'll see God's blessings in our life. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, it says, Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. What we must do is to draw closer to God. Yeah. We must submit to Him and draw near to Him. If it means we got to spend more time in His Word and prayer, that's what we must do. We must draw closer, near to Him. And we have God's promise. It says, if we draw near to Him, He promises He will draw near to us.
Yeah.
But you know what? Here comes the effort part. You got to put some effort into it.
Yeah.
If you want to draw close to Him, you've got to put effort into it if you want that.
Yeah.
What is your condition this morning? Have you been distracted by the things of this world? Have you been consumed with what you see by your eye? Is your life different from a non-believer? How does your life look right now? Remember, we are called to be different. We are called to be set apart, and we are the light of the world. Have we put on the new man in Christ? Have we gotten rid of our old self? Are we at war with our own self? We are in a warfare, church, and it's going to take us to put the full armor of God on if we want to stand in this battle. We can't stand in our own strength. We must stand in God. We know this saying that we must deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow Jesus, but it's not going to be easy for none of us. We lose our life, we gain everything, but if we hold on to our lives in our pursuits, we lose it all. Are we taking up our cross and following Jesus? Are we just going through everyday motions? Are we just going through everyday life of getting caught up with busyness and letting the riches, cares, and pleasures of this life weigh us down? What profit does it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? It's not going to amount to anything. It doesn't matter if you've got the best job, if you've got the most money, if you've got everything in life that you want, it's going to profit you nothing. The only thing that's going to matter is my life given to Christ? Maybe you're here today and you never have believed in Jesus. Or did you know that your belief in Christ, it wasn't genuine faith? I ask you, what will you give in exchange for your soul? Well, what will you give in exchange of your soul? That what is keeping you from coming to Christ? What sin in your life are you not willing to give up? Well, whatever it may be, guys, listen, give it up. Come to know Christ.
Yes.
It's not worth it to stay there.
Amen.
It's not worth it to pursue this world. If you just humble yourself and come know Him, His grace and His mercy is extended to you today if you come to Him by faith, believing in Him alone to save you, and you abandon your life and you give your life to Christ and follow Him. He's merciful.
Amen.
And He's a loving God who cares all for us.
Yeah.
We serve a great God.
Yes,
we serve a loving God.
Yeah.
We serve a God of mercy. Yeah. We serve a God of long-suffering and a God of patience with us.
Yeah.
And I thank God that he is patient with me.
Amen.
I thank God that he showed me grace and mercy when I didn't deserve it.
Amen.
And I thank him for saving my soul.
Yes.
And guys, I didn't deserve to be saved. I was a sinner lost in the bondage of sin. And I want you to know, whatever you're in, whatever bondage you may be in, Christ can set you free.
Yes, amen.
It doesn't matter what you're in. He can set you free, and you can be changed and live for him.
Yes.
As we stand to receive. I'm going to give an altar call. If there's anyone in here who needs salvation today, who needs Christ, come to this altar. This altar can't save you, but we can pray with you and you find your salvation in Christ. If you feel that drawing power of God calling you to be saved, come on out. Let go of your pride, humble yourselves, and come and be saved.
Yes.
Confess your sin to him and be born again. Let God work in your heart. No, you won't be perfect tomorrow, but he will work in you and change your life. Will you let God change your life? Will you come to him by faith? As for the church, I'm going to ask you, how is your spiritual life? Is your spiritual life strong? Are you going through emotions? Are you distracted by the things of this world? Is your light shining bright around non-believers? Have you lost your joy? This altar is for you. Christ can restore all of that. Come to him today and confess. He is faithful to forgive those, and he will strengthen you.
Yeah,
if there's anybody that needs the altar today, the altar is open. Want to join these
in prayer.